It's good to be together in the house of the Lord. It's good to be able to praise Him and just sing that song about the blood. Man, there's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power in that blood. There really is. You know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can give me, just nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can cleanse me and make me whiter than snow? Nothing but the blood. Don't throw off that confidence in the blood of Jesus. That white wedding garment, that wedding dress, that garment of righteousness is through the blood. And sometimes we can think, oh man, my garment's looking a bit tatty or a little bit soiled or stained. Or, you know, if you spilled some of that grape juice, you think, oh, my clothes. But it's, you know, it's the confidence we have in that garment. That garment of righteousness imputed. Because He's righteous, He can declare you righteous. And then that righteousness, as I've often illustrated, like a hanky over a hand, is imparted into our lives. And that's sanctification, becoming more and more Christ-like. And as you begin to walk that road of the cross, there's the way of the cross, well, the work of the cross, and then the way of the cross. The work of the cross is at salvation, at the foot of the cross, as Ken mentioned. When you come to that place and you experience the cleansing and the forgiving and the pardon and the acceptance and the burden of sin rolls away. Friends, have you experienced that? Have you experienced the freedom and the light and the love and the peace that flows into your life at that moment? It's from death to life. It's from night to day, from darkness to light. It is like, you know, you can't mix. It's just a moment where you translated from one kingdom into another kingdom. And friends, it's not just, well, it's, you know, a slow burn. I know that there's a moment that you were born into this world, and there's a moment that you're born into the kingdom of God and as a child of God and by the Spirit of God. And so, friends, people are looking. Is there hope in what's going on in this pandemic? Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Where's the hope? You see, people are holding on. Hope for their health. Hope for their wealth. Hope for the future. What is hope? Is it wishful thinking? Oh, I hope you well. Brother, I hope you well. Is it mental gymnastics of positive thinking and visualization like, don't give up hope, you can beat this. Like, just like a little cheerleader, don't give up hope, you can beat this. No. You see, biblical hope isn't wishing that everything will turn out okay. It isn't visualizing everything working out okay. It's knowing everything will turn out okay. How many of you watched The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel? Anyway, there's a movie and Sony Kapoor is the proprietor and he says everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. But you see, as Christians, we can be optimists. The world's not our home. We're passing through. And friends, I don't know if you've read the end of the book, but I certainly have. My Bible's in my bag at the iPad. But I've looked at the last chapter. And I know where the story ends. Hey, if you've read that and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, even so, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. There's like this triumphant, yes, come on, Jesus, come back. We're waiting. And we can anticipate that return and we can look forward to that return. And I pray that you're ready and you're praying for that and you're doing whatever you need to do to prepare for that. Friends, this is just the dressing room for eternity. That's all it is. This is just a dressing room. It's not the real thing. It's the shop window. It's not the real thing. The real thing, friends, needs to be stamped. Eternity needs to be stamped on our eyeballs so we see everything through the light of eternity. Otherwise, we're going to be fighting to hold on to our health. We're going to be fighting to hold on to, you know, our wealth. Because is this all it is? Is this all there is? No. You know, Jeremiah, he saw his fair share of darkness and despair and suffering. I mean, the lamenting, lamentations, you know. He's lamenting his lot. He's down in the dumps. He's in the pits of despair. And he's written some, but then he writes this. And it's so powerful. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20, and the second half of the verse. My soul is downcast within me. How many of you have felt that at times? Yeah. Be honest, you have felt that. Your mind, your will, your emotions, it's like, oh, My soul is, when you say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me, you know, that's not always a statement of faith. Sometimes it's a statement of, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Like, I don't get my soul in line with what needs to get in line. But it's that, oh, my soul's downcast within me, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. This is in our little toilet, by the way. To the one who seeks him, though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. So we've got that just when you know, can just see it. We need wall art. We need scripture on around our rooms. We need to write it on our doorposts, put it on our walls, put it on our cupboards, put it on wherever you can put it on. Your post-it notes on your fridge, in your car, wherever. Put scripture up there, friends, like this. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Corrie Ten Boom, many of you would have, I think CFS did a play called The Hiding Place. She was an amazing woman. She was imprisoned in a Second World War concentration camp. She lost because she was sheltering Jews along with her father and her sister. And they went to this concentration camp. I think it was called Ravensbrück. She ended up staying there, and her sister died there and her dad. And I mean, imagine that. You've seen such injustice. You've seen such wrong. And she had to guard her heart against being bitter and unforgiving and just resentful for everything that happens. And she came out with some amazing things. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I love that. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away your ticket and jump off. You sit still and you trust the engineer. God's got this. You're a child of God. If you're a child of God, he's got you. And as I said, we've got some wall art. And in the kitchen, just above the stove. Worry ends where faith in God begins. We need to remind that. We all need to be reminded of that. You see, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And then worry, this is Tori Timboom, is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. But because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. His mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And Jesus and John said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Take courage. Take heart, for I've overcome the world. Friends, in him you are an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus your Lord, because he's the God of hope, and he's enabled you to be in a living hope. To be born again through a living hope, to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And a good prayer for us to start the morning, if we haven't already started, is may the God of hope, you would have seen it on the board as you arrived this morning, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of hope, I pray this morning he's infusing you with some hope. By the Spirit, that you'll overflow with that same hope that you receive. Christ in you, the hope. Friends, Christ in you, the hope. Where else is there hope? Christ in you, the hope. The hope of what? The hope of glory. The hope of an inspired hope of a better future because of Jesus. In the words of that chorus, I'm dating myself. My life is in you, Lord. My hope is in you. It's in you. It's in you. It was a real charismatic one that I could remember. And I think we used to dance to it too. You see, we're no longer slaves to fear. We're children of God. I'm a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, I trust my dad, my daddy. He's large. He's in charge. I've got a big dad. You know, it's like, wait till you see my dad. You know, in the playground, wait till you see my dad. My dad will sort your dad. See, God's ultimately in control of everything. He's in control of my life. He's in control of the future. He's got the whole world in his hands. If he's got the whole world in his hands, he can hold you and I. You see, biblical hope, friends, is a deep-seated optimism and confidence that comes from knowing that God can be trusted even when we have no idea of what he's up to. No idea. But we can still say, God, I trust you. Perfect peace whose mind is trust you. Yes, perfect peace whose mind is set on you because he trusts you. That's it. Thank you, baby. Yeah, friends, that's a birthright to everyone who knows and follows Jesus. We claim it by faith and obedience to the word, which is, as we know from Psalm 119, verse 105, the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And when we trust in that word, friends, it's like the lights come on. Have you heard that saying? Man, the lights come on. It's like a rhema revelation. Suddenly God illuminates something in his word by his spirit. Have you had that experience when you suddenly read that and it's like, man, that's speaking to me. That word is speaking to me. But sometimes it's more like a dimmer switch. God's gracious. There's a glimmer of light. Then we respond and we obey that light, and then God gives us more. But if we ignore that light and walk away from the light we have, he gives us less. And it says this in Proverbs 4, verse 18. It encourages us. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. It's like it's getting brighter and brighter as the revelation grows, as we're obedient to the light and the truth that God gives us. And as we walk in that truth, God gives more truth, and we become more and more like him. And we will shine more and more like him, because that makes sense. Become more like Jesus, we'll become bigger, better light bearers. We won't be hiding our light under a bowl or under a table, but it will be a light on a hill. So this is a good example I'm going to be sharing from Bartimaeus this morning. Blind Bartimaeus, chapter 10 of Mark. It's told in two of the other Gospels, but I'm looking at Mark this morning. Verse 46 to 52. And there's a picture. I don't know if Abby's able to put the picture up. I thought, just so you get a picture of a man, I can imagine him. That's a great picture of somebody who's desperate, friends. Just keep that picture in mind as we read through this. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Wow! Don't you love those encounters? Just one moment from blindness to sight. And it's actually the spiritual meaning of that word of being healed was actually also a spiritual healing. He wasn't just healed of physical sight. He was healed spiritually. He became a follower, one who was in the kingdom. And we don't know much about him except maybe his father's name. But I can imagine this wasn't his first day on the job begging. He was probably, his whole life he had been able to or had to rely on the generosity of others to survive. Imagine what a sorry state to be in. No job, no sight, no money, no dignity, no end in sight. His world only extended as far as his hands and his ears could hear. That's the world. That's his whole world. When others rushed on Jerusalem and the Passover a celebration, he was relegated to the side of the road. You see, with a keen ear, he had heard Jesus and his men marching on Jerusalem to usher in the kingdom in some kind of victory parade. But here lies the hope. Therein lies the hope. He's got a glimmer of hope. Because you see, the news would have spread to the beggars at the city gates. Did you hear? Did you hear? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Is this the man, they say, that can heal the sick? Maybe make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, have I mentioned, the dumb to speak, to see. Could it be to see me? You see, faith begins with such a question. And I believe his ears were finely tuned to the holy gossip grapevine. You see, the word had spread about this miracle-working man and crowds were following him. And he didn't want to get caught up in the crowds. He wanted to meet the Messiah. In the humdrum of the city, he might miss out the Messiah, depending on which street he walked on. We can learn so much from Bartimaeus. He's not going to be put off by people rebuking him or telling him to be silent. He's expressing faith. You see, friends, faith negates failure. How many times did Bartimaeus express hope to receive something only to be ignored? He's faced rejection before, many people rebuking him, telling him to be quiet. You see, that's not going to hold him back. You see, your failures do not have to define you. Failure is never final. It can be the foundation of future victories. Remember that. Your failures do not have to define you. Failure is never final. It can be the future or foundation of future victory. It all depends how we respond. You see, we can curse our luck. We can blame others. We could blame the state. We could blame the government. We could blame something else. We could fail to take responsibility and we'll continue to fail. You see, the fear of men and the opinions of men wasn't going to hold blind Bartimaeus back. He shouts all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's a cry that will never be ignored. It stirred from the depths of despair to this high hopes of healing. He's got hope. He's got faith. Like that, the lights came on. No dimmer switch. He saw what others had not. The crowd referred to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. He refers to him as Jesus, Son of David. It's a messianic explanation. It's a messianic proclamation. This was no chance meeting. Some historians describe this Herodian Jericho. This wasn't the Jericho where the walls fell down. This is another Jericho. And there was only one road into the city and the same road out of the city to what they called the Pilgrim Road. So you could only get into that city one way. And he knew it. He knew it. And so he, you know, in the one gospel, in Matthew's gospel, it says he had another blind man with him. And I don't think he brought the buddy for a backup. I think he had some faith in his heart because he was expectant. You see, faith comes from hearing. And he's heard the good news reports of an anointed man who's binding up the brokenhearted, who's proclaiming freedom for the prisoners and the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And that's in line with his messianic prophecy in Isaiah 61. Faith is contagious. Faith is infectious. Faith acts. Faith negates fear. Friends, the one thing to fear is fear itself. You see, fear looks, but faith acts. And this was a quote by Hank Hengroff. Faith in Christ is not some blind leap into a dark chasm, but a faith based on established evidence. Established evidence. Jesus himself said, "Even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles." Faith acts on the facts. Does that make sense? Faith acts on the facts. And the Bible is the facts. The Bible is the truth. The Bible is the Word of God. And your faith can be built on that. And faith comes from that. And then think back to John 1 with the first disciples. Calling of the first disciples. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ, the anointed one." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated as Peter. Then Jesus finds Philip and Philip finds Nathanael. Don't you love that? What does he say? Nazareth. Anything good? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. "Come and see." I love to think that blind Bartimaeus said to his buddy, his blind friend, "Come and see. Come and see." Because he had faith. Come and see in more ways than one. Faith has already risen in his heart as he cries this desperate cry, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, it was the same sort of cry when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Perhaps the saved, seeing, saved, well, Bartimaeus now, he's on fire. He's a radical Christian. How many of you can remember when people got saved and they were radical? What's happened to us? And he was, I'm sure, because you read the end of the story, he followed Jesus. So I can imagine he was the cheerleader. I can imagine, because what did they say when Jesus went into Jerusalem? The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," which means the Lord saves. Salvation in the Lord. Salvation, that's what it means, Hosanna. So Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. He was the cheerleader. He had gone with this revelation and he had brought it already to others. He was a crowd. He was a leader already, I'm sure. And so his faith went ahead and made a way and others followed. Your faith makes a difference. In this nation at this time, with the climate of doubt and despair, the people of God, people full of hope. That's what the nation needs. A people who know their God. But friends, it starts with recognizing and responding to who Jesus is. And a cry for mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Friends, there's Bob Mumford, who's an amazing Bible teacher. If you want to listen to anything he's got to say on YouTube, I really encourage you to. Particularly his Agape Road, Father Heart series. Incredible, incredible. And in the year 2000, so he's 84 now. What's that, 20 years ago. So he was in his early 60s. He locked on to something that God gave him. It took 40 years of ministry, but then he had this amazing revelation of the Father and the intimacy into me, you see. The Father, that message of the Father, brilliant. But I'm getting sidetracked. Sorry, I just felt I needed to say that because sometimes people lock onto all sorts of stuff. But this guy, he was in his early 20s. He was a backslidden man who had been in the Navy, foul mouth, cursing. And he kind of got to a meeting. I don't know if it was a kind of fired up evangelistic meeting, but he responded to what they would call an altar call or a salvation call. And he had already, as a younger man, I think at 12 years old, but he had never walked properly with God, never been discipled, never gone on with God. And he's almost like, I can imagine, he had folded arms and, like, you know, tattoos. He had tattoos. He was a hardened sailor, foul mouth. And he's like, okay, God, like some of us have been, like, stand up here. Okay, God, you do it. You know, you show me. Prove yourself. Where are you? But he, in that moment, a woman in the back of that church started travailing. Lord, have mercy on his soul. She didn't care what others were saying or hearing. She just started to travail in prayer over that man's soul because she could see he had so much pride and arrogance, and she just started to travail for him. Lord, have mercy on his soul. And I can imagine she had emotion in her voice and she was weeping. Lord, have mercy on his soul. And she cried out again and again and again, and something broke. And he wept and he got down on his knees. And friends, 60 years of ministry, because he met with God, someone prayed him into the kingdom. Someone travailed. Somebody wept. Somebody said, I'm not going to let God go unless that man meets with God. And friends, we can stand and we can, in many ways, just think, well, the world will pass us by. Or we can say, Lord, Son of God, have mercy on me. And not rely on the cries of others, as powerful as they are. Friends, if you're away from the Lord, if you're not right with God, what do you need to do? What are you willing to do? Cry out to Jesus. Jesus, have mercy on me. Pour out your heart before him. He's a God who hears and he's a God who sees. Don't be put off by others. See, many rebuked Bartimaeus and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't be put off by pride and insult to injury. See, only those who persevere in the face of obstacles will get the breakthrough. And as Jesus stops to give Bartimaeus attention, friends, he will respond to you. There's a myriad of hurricane of voices out there. One voice arrests him. Above the cheering, he hears one solitary man crying. Jesus stops. Think about that for a moment. Jesus stops. He's hours away from a triumphant entry or triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's days away from the upper room and Last Supper. He's a week away from the shameful and painful death on the cross. But Jesus stops. He's willing to let destiny stand still so he can attend to the needs of one man. One man. He hears a cry for mercy and stops. And look how he responds. Jesus stopped him and said, call him. So he called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Friends, Jesus is calling. He will not lift up anyone who refuses to rise. He will not carry anyone who refuses to walk. Faith acts. Faith leaps. The invitation is clear. Come to Jesus. Cast off the cloak. When Jesus calls you, the implication is clear. Throw aside your worldly wealth, your position, your prestige, your pride. I don't care if you've been in this church for 20 years, because this church has been here 20 plus, not in this building, but it's been around for more than 20 years. But it's where you act with God. It's about you and God. It's not about anybody else. And as Bibi's mom often used to tell her, throw away your reputation. Lose it. The best thing to do with your reputation is lose it. That's what she used to say. In the right sense of the word, not like the wrong sense of the word. What's holding you back? What's hindering you from coming to Jesus? You see, the road to despair and hopelessness is paved with good intentions and the anthem, I did it my way. But the road to healing and salvation is paved with Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin of doubt and that so easily entangles. Jump up, come to Jesus, express your need. Friends, if there's one thing that's apparent for anyone with eyes to see, it's a blind person. A deaf or a dumb person is hard to discern, but a blind person needs assistance. And Jesus, by asking a very obvious question, what do you want me to do for you? He's giving an opportunity for Bartimaeus to express his faith. He's drawing faith out of him. And you see, Jesus had asked that question once before. When James and John had asked to be seated at his right and left hand in heaven, he had refused them. They'd asked for glory. Bartimaeus asks for grace. Bartimaeus said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. That's a kind of faith that breaks through the darkness and grabs hold of the light. That's the one who will see Jesus. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Imagine the first face that you see is Jesus. I don't know if Timaeus was a believer, his father. And maybe he took him to the synagogue. Maybe he read to him from the Psalms. Would they have had the Psalms? Would they have read them? I know they had the first five books and they would have meditated on those. But Psalm 27, maybe he had heard Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then in Psalm 27, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. And maybe that picture can go up. He had meditated on this and saying to himself, maybe he had spent time thinking about that. And to seek to know him and gaze on God's beauty. What an answer to being free from fear, gazing on God's beauty. In the words of this song by Paul Wilbur, show me your face, Lord. Your power and grace, I will make it to the end if I could just see your face. I'll make it to the end if I can just see your face. Can you see he's calling you? What do we need to do to be friends of God? We need to follow the same steps of Bartimaeus. One, ask for mercy from God. A for ask. Ask for mercy from God. And that's repentance, as Ken said, and if you've not repented, if you've not asked God's forgiveness, if you've chosen your will above God's will, your way above God's way, ask for forgiveness and then choose to live the life of God, to live God's way. And then I must get my ABCs right. Believe, ask and then believe. Believe that Jesus lived and died and rose again. He's the Messiah and the Savior. And that on his death on the cross, there's enough to restore your relationship with God. Easy. Easy as ABC. What is C? Commit. Commit to following him. That's what Bartimaeus did. He just said, go your way. And his way suddenly became Jesus' way. He says, I'm not going my way. I'm going your way. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Where you go, I'll go. Where you end up, I'll end up. Wherever, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And maybe I do believe, secondly, that there are people here this morning that Jesus is calling. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you need saving? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 10:9. Will you put your trust in him as your Savior, as your Lord? And then lastly, I believe there are people here this morning, God's wanting to lead. Wanting to lead you out of something into something. There's an earlier account of a blind man who was healed at Bethsaida. And Jesus led him, the blind man, out of the village, out of the noise, out of the hustle and the bustle, out of the doubt and unbelief of the naysayers. Jesus has led him out of the city and then healed him. Jesus wants to lead you out of doubt and despair. Jesus wants to lead you out of darkness, out of the voices of others, out of the other things that are distracting you right now. Jesus is wanting to silence the other voices. And whose voice will you listen to? Whose word will you believe? Whose report? The word of the Lord or the word of the negative news? What's captivating us and getting us attention? I saw this recently on some of these guys are so creative. And it's a little Instagram post. And friends, just think about that. Last seen 8 seconds ago. Last seen? How long since you last locked onto your Bible app? How often do you look at WhatsApp? How often do you look at your Bible app? Friends, that challenged me. That challenged me. I've hidden your word in my heart. I will study your words and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your words. Psalm 119. You see, Jesus never imposes his desire or his will on you. When he healed that beside a blind man, he said, go your way. Given the choice, he followed Jesus. Who else would you follow? Where else would you go? He alone has the words of life. Amen. Amen. I wonder if I can ask the musicians. Oh, I think we've run out of time. Maybe we can just go in the keys for a moment. I mean, I know that we spoke about God doing business, and I think Brian has really said, you know, how do you do business with God? He was wanting to share a word along those lines. Be still and know that he's God. Be quiet. Draw aside. Come aside. And as you come aside and as you quieten yourself and as you switch off your phone or you switch off the TV or you switch off the other things that are just crowding out, the voices, maybe find a place that's quiet and let him speak to you. Let him speak to you. Let him minister to you. Let him remind you of his love, his steadfast love. Let him remind you of his faithfulness. His mercy is new every morning. Let him speak to you from the truth of what's been preached and shared and taught and read and whatever seed that's in your heart, God wants to germinate. God wants to water. Even this morning, God wants to add to that seed. So if you're away from God this morning, if you need to come back to God, if you need to make right with God, I know we've had communion and there would have been an opportunity to do that as you reflected on the blood that washes clean and the forgiveness through that blood and the life that's in the bread, the body. And you partook of that. And you examined yourselves, I pray, as the word says. But let's respond to him this morning as he's calling, as he's leading. Can we stand together? Can we stand together? Perhaps you want to pray along with me. Lord, I acknowledge, even like Bartimaeus, things have passed me by. I've been on the sidelines. I've been in the backwaters. But you passing by this morning, Jesus, and my heart's being stirred again. My faith is being stirred again. And I want to cry out to you, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my soul. Have mercy on me. I want to follow you. I want to respond to you. I want to do what you require of me. I want to right things that are wrong. I want to change, Lord. I want to be more like you. I want to have more of your light, more of your love, more of your peace, more of your joy, more of your righteousness. Do it in me, I pray. Do it in us, I pray. Come to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you stop. Even at this moment, you stop. And you respond to your children. You respond to those who call out to you in faith. Even for those who have not yet come into a relationship with you, you respond to them right now, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus' name.